like the sun's coming in from everywhere. We sit and complain. It's a beautiful day outside.
Well, Terry, it's 1:30 if you want to go ahead and kick us off.
All right. I'll go ahead and call this meeting to order as soon as I can get my video back up. Here we go. All right. Did everybody, I want to do some introductions first. We have Jason Illig, Greg Donaway, and Mike Kelly from Woodrow Wilson Rehab Center. So I'd like to welcome you to the group. And then has everybody had a chance to, is there anyone here that needs to make a public comment? All right, I don't see anybody. So did everybody get a chance to read the minutes? Okay, do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I move to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Greg. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Steve. All in, it will go ahead and vote on the minutes. Is anybody, if everybody's opposed, or I'm having a terrible time with my words today. If everybody's in favor of approving the minutes, please say aye.
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 Thank you. Minutes are approved. We're going to move on to Anne. You had someone that you needed to introduce.
Yes. Thank you, Terry. Uh-huh. I would like to introduce Nathan Garrison. Nathan, can you wave? We see who you are.
Hey, everybody.
There's Nathan. Nathan is our newest regional planner at the Central Shenandoah PDC. So while he is not part of our immediate transit and transportation team, we're really happy to have him as a part of our larger agency. And this is his second week on the job, right? So he's making the rounds to meet our partners and learn a little bit about all facets of Central Shenandoah PDC programming. Nathan, do you want to take a minute to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I started here at the PDC last week. I'm originally from Rockingham County, and I went to JMU. Most recently, I've worked for the town of Grottoes for about 9 years doing different things, and most recently I was the town manager there for a few years, and now moved my way to here to Stanton at the PDC. So nice to meet everybody, and thanks for letting me listen in.
Welcome. We're going to move on with the business. We have the fiscal year 2021 DRPT grant status update by Devin.
Yes, thank you, Terry. Again, I know this has been an ongoing agenda item, but there is some news. So the draft FY21 SIP has been developed and was considered at the October CTB meeting. And that draft is currently out for public review and comment and is posted on DRPT's website. It has been indicated that it will be acted on at the December CTB meeting. And that draft SIP included the Afton Express, which I'll give a little bit more of a detailed update on following this, and Intelligent Transportation Systems, the ITS Phase 1 funding, in addition to transit operating funds for BRAIT and transportation demand management operating funds, which is for RideShare, which is our commuter assistance program that's done through a partnership with Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission. So I don't know if Stephen and Wood want to give any further details on that, or if I got everything right on the first try.
Sounds good to me. Keep it short.
All right. So we're going to move on to the Afton Express update by Devin.
Yes. So like I said, that grant funding for Afton Express was included in the Virginia draft transportation budget that will be considered by the CTB and acted on in December. And that demonstration grant will provide 80% of the cost of providing the transit service and will be matched at 20% by local funds coming from the cities of Stanton, Waynesboro, Charlottesville, the counties of Augusta and Albemarle, and the University of Virginia. So to remind you all and to bring the WWRC folks up to speed, this is two buses that are planned to operate service Monday through Friday with 4 morning and 4 evening trips, connecting the park and ride lots in Stanton, Fishersville, and Waynesboro, with stops in Charlottesville at Bavaro Hall, UVA Health System, Charlottesville Amtrak, the downtown Charlottesville Transit Center, and in Albemarle County at 5th Street Station and at Wegmans. So it's planned that Virginia Regional Transit, BRT, will be operating the service under contract to CSPDC like they do for Bright. Staffs have been working on that contract addendum to incorporate the delivery of Afton Express service, and that addendum does include provision of 2 buses for operations and a spare bus. So as you know from our updates and previous meetings, work on the website and marketing have been ongoing. So the standalone pages dedicated to Afton Express will be a part of the Bright website. And we have worked closely with Esslin Design, who designed the Bright website, to develop those informational web pages. And they are currently ready and will go live closer to the operation of the service. This past spring, CSPDC and TJPDC staffs and the Afton Express stakeholder group worked with Hive Creative from Crozet to create the logo and color scheme, which you all saw back in July, I believe. And that will all be used on the website and promotional materials, as well as branding the buses and bus stop signs for that service. Hive will also be working with staff for the rest of the year to develop an advertising campaign and some marketing tools for us to use. And last but certainly not least for the timeline, we will be working closely with DRPT and the stakeholder group to identify the right time for startup of operations. Currently, you know, a lot of people are teleworking, and there continue to be safety concerns related to riding public transportation. So that was the comprehensive update that Nancy wanted me to share with you all. Does anyone have any questions?
Okay. As I see no questions, we're going to move on to PTAS update by Wood Hudson and Devin.
Yes. Let Perfect. Me share my screen. Can you all see that?
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks.
Looks good. I think you have to change your display settings. So it's the presenter. So yes. It's not presenter view yet.
This one, swap.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. Perfect.
There we go.
Thank you, Ed.
All right. So I'm going to run through a little background about the Public Transportation Agency Safety Plan, and then turn it over to Devin to discuss the Bright specifics. The Public Transportation Agency Safety Plan requirements, you can go to the next slide, were put forth by FTA in response to performance measure requirements in both MAP 21 and the FAST Act. FTA published their requirements starting in July 19th, 2018, to allow transit agencies and state departments of transportation time to kind of develop the necessary components to put together the PTAS. The reason we have to do this is essentially FTA is trying to like better incorporate safety on transit and provide transit agencies with the tools and methods for record keeping that are kind of backed up by best practices in the industry. So the way they do this is that if you receive 5307 funds starting this year, you have to have a compliant public transportation agency safety plan. It is a really like a plan is kind of a misnomer for this document. It's more of a document that catches a lot of different things and summarizes a lot of things that a lot of transit agencies are already doing. Devin will cover that and really kind of demonstrate how you all are in well within compliance of the PTSP regulation. On the next slide, I'll talk about kind of some of the sizing metrics and what's required in a PTSP. So FTA thankfully realizes that not all transit agencies are the same, and they provide a definition of a small transit agency versus a large transit agency. For all intents and purposes, that's if you operate 100 or more vehicles in peak hour service, you're considered a large transit agency. There's some different things that apply to you if you're a large transit agency or a large transit agency that operate rail than if you're one of the smaller guys. One of the benefits of being a smaller transit agency when it comes to the PTSP is that state DOTs in many cases were required to be the leaders in developing the initial PTSP plan, which is the case in Virginia where DRPT developed the statewide PTSP for 15 of our smaller transit agencies. And the PTSP requirement includes some very specific sections, one being a safety management system, safety performance targets, which are set nationally in terms of what the performance measures are, and then each individual transit agency sets their individual targets, and we'll be reassessing these kind of on a regular basis. And then an employee reporting program. In many cases, the PTSP drew a lot from what agencies had in place in terms of employee reporting programs, where the frontline employees can address safety issues, bring things to the forefront. This gets into, you know, procedures in both the drivers out in the field, the mechanics working in the garages, people cleaning the buses, and kind of how all of that can work together to build a safety culture. Next slide, please. So this Tier 2 plan, which is the smaller agencies, DRPT really developed this in coordination with all of these agencies. We utilized a consultant, TRA and AECOM were our subprime and prime consultants on this, and they have extensive experience in kind of the safety realm. And they went out to each agency, they did some surveys, they did some document requests, field visits, provided agencies with the opportunity to review the draft plans and the draft sections related to each individual transit agency, and then kind of helped us work through the final approval of these documents, getting everybody's accountable executives to sign off. One point I would make about this is the coronavirus did impact the timeline. Initially, we were supposed to have everything signed off by July, but FTA did extend the deadline to December. However, at this point, I believe every agency in Virginia has completed their PTSP and has gone in and taken care of their certifications and assurances related to the PTSP. So we are well within compliance in Virginia at this point. Next slide, please. So what's in the safety plan? It's organized as a kind of there's an overview that just discusses the planning requirements in general, and then it really gets into the agency-specific appendices, which make up the vast majority of the document. They include agency profiles. This details everything from agency structure to org charts with a focus on identifying key positions as they relate to implementation of the plan and safety in general. Like all good planning documents, it has goals and objectives and targets, details the employee safety reporting procedures for the transit agency, how safety is communicated in both directions from top down, bottom up in a transit agency, and identify safety accountability and responsibility based on positions and safety risk and things like that. Any questions on what's in a safety plan at this point? It's a lot of pieces that get crammed into these documents. All right, I'll continue. Next slide, please. Certification and compliance. While the state did develop, well, DRPT did develop the initial plan, each transit agency must annually certify by FTA certification and assurances process that the safety plan meets the requirements of the final rule. For this year, most of agencies have completed that. For future years, it will be the responsibility of the transit agencies to continue to maintain the plans, make sure that they make any updates. If positions change, if roles and responsibilities change, those will need to be documented when you go to recertify your plans. The state has certified the safety plans on behalf, that's for the larger state plan. And the way that the plan is made available, it's not like on the roadway side where a lot of these performance measure things actually get sent to federal highways on the transit side. This is something that would probably come up during a triannual or a state's management review. So depending on when that is in your schedule, it's a good idea to make sure that you're keeping all of your PTAS documentation. Next slide, please. And here, documentation and record keeping must maintain the documents, including those related to SMS implementation. It must be made available on request by FTA. Must maintain these documents for a minimum of 3 years after they are created. Next slide. And then finally, wrapping up with a status in Virginia, the larger transit agencies, Richmond, Hampton Roads, and PRTC, have all completed their plans. And as of October, published all of them. The final Tier 2 agency PTAS, which Bright is obviously a part of, is now available on our website. You can get to it by that link. I know also all of the agencies have copies available. So if folks need to dive into them, they are available and out there. Next slide. All right.
On to me. So like Wade mentioned, each participating transit agency within the state plan has its own appendix. And so this plan really reiterates that safety is a core value for transit agencies, and VRT has always held safety as a top priority. And this plan basically just affirms and documents all of their work. So the next few slides, I'll review Bright's appendix, which covers the comprehensive systems that VRT has in place to document their safety performance. So I pulled this straight out of the plan. So the safety performance targets outlined in the table were created with the consultants that Wood referenced. Part of that plan development included extensive interviews with VRT and CSPDC staff. And these targets will continually be tracked and updated. CSPDC and VRT staff will work with the DRPT annually to update this information and track those targets. So VRT continually tracks and documents all vehicle accidents and safety events, both preventable and non-preventable. So to give you some reference, in calendar year 2019, there were 8 preventable accidents, and currently this year there have been 5 preventable accidents. So whenever any kind of accident occurs, drivers will call it in and procedures are followed, like drug testing. All accident reports are logged, and VRT has a company-wide accident review committee that reviews all reported accidents as well. So VRT disseminates their operating policy and policy manual to all employees upon employment. Additionally, these employees go through TAPTCO training, which includes 29 education modules and testing, which all of this information is kept on file. VRT maintains safety trainings through a variety of activities, like an ongoing slide deck that runs in the driver's lounge at the Fishersville facility, with safety information and tips. They have 5-minute safety meetings on a regular basis with the transit supervisor, Jeannie, and these are signed off on. And they have interactive quarterly meetings that revolve around TAPTCO training topics. So employees are accountable for reporting and do well with proactive communication with management staff regarding potential safety issues, whether that be a hazardous situation on the route or even an uncooperative passenger that could be disruptive and cause concern. So in addition to that self-reporting, there are periodic and random road test and driver's audits that occur regularly, as well as random video checks. There is also a phone number on the back of the bus that serves as a way for reporting for the public, so they can call in with either complaints or compliments. Just know whenever you can complain, you can also compliment. So again, all this information is tracked and logged. So the safety culture at VRT is a result of all of these safety management systems that they have in place and that I just kind of went over. And that's it.
Does anybody have any questions? All right, we'll move on then to a contractor update by Steve.
Are we going to the to our slide? We've had a C Street concern with a stop over Gypsy Hill with C Street, and we are looking to reroute this to accommodate. Devin, do you have the slide or am I doing the slide?
I'm doing the slide.
Okay, there you go.
Give me 1 second.
So the discussion that we're going to have here is about the rerouting of the North Loop, and the Saturday night trolley also covers this area. And it's around C Street, and like I said, it's for Gypsy Hill House is a stop that's there. So, Devin, you can go on to the next slide. This professional photography here gives you an idea of the challenges that we run up against on C Street. There is parking on both sides of the street on a regular basis. We have no sidewalks through there. Up towards the upper end, there's a lot of construction going on, so there may or may not be trucks, backhoes, delivery people delivering cinder blocks, you know, shingles, everything of that sort. So it is really a narrow corridor. So we're certainly going to look at the potential of schedules or timing impact. Would a rerouting affect those? Safety concerns, and like I said, the congestion related to parking and construction. Community concerns. We had an incident with a bus and a basketball goal there, and then we've had some Facebook interaction with some folks that were concerned about the bus travel through there. And like I said, lack of sidewalks and way to accommodate pedestrian traffic, which really is, if you can see these embankments and stuff, really just puts people to the road, walking in the road. So next slide, please. So the current route comes from Churchville Avenue back from Gypsy Hill Park, and turns left and goes up C Street and goes up to Gypsy Hill House. We do the pickup there or just turn around, and we head back down that same lane and go down to Churchville Avenue, and we take a right and continue on the route from there. Next slide. So the current schedule, if we move this, you know, one way or the other, it's not going to impact the schedule. It, given the time of day and activity going on, you know, we may have to reroute for, you know, construction or whatever else is going on. So it will not have a negative impact on scheduling or timing. in that area. The alteration would have a positive effect on the safety of the route area. Like I said, it's really narrow there. It's not something you can pinpoint. It's not like, you know, this is the one area of safety concern. It moves left to right and up and down the street on a regular basis. So, and we're talking about, not sure the direction, but we're talking about prior to getting to Hickory Hill, between Poplar Street there and Hickory Street is where a majority of this construction is, and it's closer to Hickory Street. But it is a very busy avenue for everybody involved through there. So like I said, I think it'll be a positive change for the route. Next slide. So Grubert, I originally looked at D Street, which is a much wider street, but in conversations, we decided maybe Grubert would be the way to go. So Grubert Street's controlled by a light, so it takes away having to cross Churchill Avenue to get there, which may or may not be a concern, at some points. But it's controlled by a light. It's more suited for bus traffic. It's lined up through there. It is a wider avenue of travel. And like I said, the impact on time should be minimal. It moves the route away from construction and parking. It's along C Street. And Hickory Street's a pretty wide avenue of travel as well. Not a lot of parking on either side of there, and more accessible and more bus friendly to use Hickory Street. So we'd go to Churchville and we'd turn left at the light at Grubert Street and right there at CVS. And we'd follow that up and then turn left at Hickory Street. So don't think that navigating, across Grubert to get onto Hickory will be, any different than trying to go across Churchville. So next slide.
Oh, this is the last slide. Sorry.
Is that the last slide?
I skipped him while you're talking.
So, we service that with the Northwest Loop. We also service it with the ADA paratransit, the Bright Access. It runs up and down through there. Future plans are that we may want to put some changes on the north loop that would involve Grubert Street on the other end. So this may be, more of a streamlined approach. But for right now, I think that the change is it's necessary. Like I said, if you were to take your car up through C Street, you'd feel kind of claustrophobic up through there. It's narrow, and with the cars parked on both sides, there's a lot of children activity and balls and dogs and other animals and stuff like that. So it's just a narrow corridor, and we would certainly be in favor of moving the route over to Grubert. So that's what I got on that.
Does anybody have any questions or comments on that? Do you feel like we need to take a vote on this, or can it just be approved? Nobody said anything.
that would certainly be y'all's.
Perry, I'll just say that, if Steve mentioned this, I may have missed it, that we here in Stanton were fully engaged on this issue by both the PDC and Bright staff, and our city staff had one or two conversations with their counterparts, and the city fully supports the change that is as it's proposed.
Okay. Do you feel like we need to vote on it, Steve, or can we just approve it since you're on board with it?
Oh, you're asking me? I don't know the answer to that question. Okay. Perhaps Devin or Ian can tell us what has been done previously.
I would say we defer to Stanton since it's in Stanton.
I know
we made a change on one other route and we didn't vote on it. Devin and I looked back and it was just approved because there was no financial barriers or anything. So we just approved it.
That was the one on Port Republic?
Yes.
Where we just moved it because it was a sore spot. Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's an appropriate precedent to follow.
Okay. Then I would say it's approved to go ahead with that change. All right, we're going to, Steve, do you have other updates on general operations?
I don't think so. We continue on. We're offering masks to the riding public. We're still doing the social distancing. We haven't, gotten any indication from anybody to change that model. So things seem to be going along as well as they can. So, and it's been going well.
All right. I guess that moves us into inclement weather. We will be having that soon. Do you have an update on that?
I think Devin sent out part of our contact list that we had, and if anybody else feels like they may or may not want to be on that list, they can certainly reach out to us and get on there. But we will update that and follow the procedures that have been in place. So it shouldn't be anything any different than just a couple name changes of folks that need to know and folks that may have moved on elsewhere. So I have a feeling we will be using that in the weeks and months to come. So
All right, what about I have noted that the VDH stop request is being postponed while the health department gathers information. Do you have anything to add to that?
They did. They it was kind of one person driving the process and certainly the back. Yeah, but they to gather some information, I think, is what we did. Poll folks. I'm not sure if they've allowed folks in, but when Devin and I talked to them the last time, they were still
okay.
A little hard for them to gather numbers and make an informed decision.
All right. The Pinnacle Drive stop request, we've postponed that.
Same thing. They wanted a little more time to, get farther along in their process before we visited that. So we are, that pretty short leap to get that signed and get that done. So once again, we're waiting on somebody else to kind of, give us the thumbs up and let us know that they want to proceed. So.
All right. And what about Myers Corner bus shelter and bench installation?
We were just out there. It's a lovely spot out there. Pretty day out there. So we're getting into logistics and stuff. Location that everybody could. We'll move into the next step of getting that, and then getting the bench and the shelter installed. It's two locations, but we looked at both, and it looks like we're going to move forward on that. So I think Devin's probably got some technical information to give him to. It's got to be this wide and this tall and this long. And so I think once he gets at it, it'll move into a site development there, and we should be moving forward with that as well.
Okay. Anybody have any questions on what information Steve just gave us? All right, we'll move on to other businesses. We have the NTD data submitted report from Devin.
Yes, so at the end of October, we submitted our NTD National Transit Database reporting forms for FTA. So that's basically public transit providers who receive or benefit from 5307 and 5311, which is the urban and rural funds, are required to participate in reporting. We do fall under reduced reporting since we operate fewer than 30 vehicles. So those annual reporting forms really document data related to finance, operations, and asset conditions. So that was finalized, and I'm working on some reviews and revisions with our analyst.
All right. And then we're going to move on to the Smart Scale application by Ann.
Thanks, Terry. Mm-hmm. I want to note that even though we do reduced reporting for the NTD, it is still a lot of work. And Devin did it all herself for the first time this year, and she did it all right the first time. And PD didn't have to get back to us with any requests for more information or corrections. And it really is like no small task, and she nailed it. So kudos to Devin on that. I see here that we put down that our smart scale applications for Bright screened in, might be a little bit ahead of ourselves there. They are in the process of being screened in. We have every reason to think that they will be. We haven't received, you know, any notifications from VDOT or DRPT with major concerns, but that screening process will be completed this month. And I think the Commonwealth Transportation Board will actually be getting an update on that at their November meeting. So we're close, and have every reason to think that our applications for our transit stop improvements will screen in. So we'll let you know.
Okay. Any questions or comments on that? All right. I just want to, everybody got a schedule of the meetings for next year in the email that was sent out by Devin. We will be doing that on Zoom until further notice. So you have the schedule for next year. And then I think that's all I have. Is that all I have, Devin?
It is.
Okay. So if nobody else has any comments or questions, then I'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Any comments or questions?
This is Mike. I noticed on the inclement weather contact that there's outdated contact information for the WWRC reps. Devin, if you'd like, I can provide you with updated contact information for that document.
Yes, that would be great. You can just shoot me an email with those updated contacts and we'll update
great.
That.
Thank you.
This is Steve. The CTB will not be meeting in November. The next meeting will be December.
Okay.
They are meeting in November. They just scheduled a meeting just the other day.
Okay.
Ronique Day announced that.
I haven't been notified yet.
I know. Marcia Fiol didn't know, but Ronique had a date yesterday on our VAMPO board meeting call. It's actually the week of Thanksgiving. And so it's an extra meeting because normally you're right, the December and November, December are combined, but for whatever reason they need to have one in November this year. See Steve Rosenberg.
I'm related. I was ready to move on to another topic if you were done, Ann.
I'm done.
Okay. Devin, the meetings for 2021, are they at 1:30 p.m.?
They'll be at 2:30. Sorry, I kept this 1:30 meeting since that's what we had advertised, because this is usually our lunch meeting. Sorry that you all did not get any food. So they can go back to, they'll be back to 2:30 next year. So okay. I'll make that note when I send out those calendar invites like I've been doing the past few years. If 2:30 still works for everyone, which it seems to be.
All right, if there's no other questions or comments, I'm going to adjourn the meeting at 2:06. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Devin.
Thank you.